Welcome to the podcast of Lancaster Brethren in Christ Church, located in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. LBIC is a community being transformed by the love of Jesus, sharing this love with all people. We want this podcast to be an extension of our community, allowing us to connect with familiar voices and the things our church is thinking and talking about, even though we may not be together in person. So enjoy the podcast, and we hope to see you in person very soon.
Good morning. It's good to be with you today. Whether you are a part of the LBIC family or just a friend stopping in, I want to say welcome. I'm glad you're with us today. So it's been a crazy 3 months or so, right? I mean, first we found ourselves in the midst of this global pandemic, and we had all these questions. How long are we going to have to stay home? How many people are going to get sick or even die? When do we get to live life normally? What will normal even look like? And we really haven't had many answers to those questions yet. We do have some lessening of the restrictions as far as staying home, so we have a little more freedom to come and go, but we still have a lot of unanswered questions. So we weren't even out of this pandemic, and we find ourselves in the midst of this great tension regarding racism and all the unrest that that's brought to our country. Now, before I go any further, let me say a few things. First, I know that this element of racism and this tension is not new. What's new is the amount of attention it's getting from our country right now. And the other thing I want to say is that I by no means want to minimize any of this, any of the challenges that our friends of color are facing or have faced. I don't know what it means to live a life as a person of color. I don't know the challenges that you have experienced or probably will continue to experience. But I do know that I'm trying to learn more and growing. And so I ask that if I do misspeak, would you just give me a little bit of grace? Thanks. So 2 weeks ago, Joshua preached about lament. Lament being our plea of, oh God, how long? And asking for God to intercede. And Joshua expressed his personal lament to the families of LBIC Church, to those who are people of color or who have children of color, and he expressed our desire to stand with you, to let you know that we care for you and we love you. And I just want to say personally that I agree 110% with everything that Joshua said. I do stand with you. I do love you and I do care for you. Joshua also reminded us in that sermon about Pentecost that God was demonstrating once again his desire for inclusion and diversity as he gave the ability to speak in their own language to those who were present at the time of Pentecost. And then last week, Joshua spoke about confession. And he reminded us that confession is a part of our daily life of faith. We need to come back to God. We need to return to God. That doesn't surprise God. He knows that we're going to need to do that. It's how we learn, and it's how we grow. And sometimes we're going to need to do that as individuals, and sometimes we're going to need to do that as a church. So then, since then, we've lived through another week. We've been living with our restrictions of our lives, changing a little bit, but we're still dealing with various hardships related to the pandemic. We still continue to be aware of a lot of protests and a lot of tension in our nation. We're lamenting, we're confessing, we're crying, we're learning, and we're growing. And then I have the opportunity to bring to you a message this week. So as you may know, we've been using the lectionary as a scripture base for our messages basically since the beginning of the year. And so I read these passages over a few times and really prayed that the Holy Spirit would guide me into what I should be sharing with you this morning. And as I read these passages over and over, I've had this nagging question in the back of my mind. And that question is, when do we get to laugh? Or when can we laugh again? Or when can we sing praise again? Please hear me. I don't ask these questions because I want to sweep everything under the rug. I say this because I know that whether we're in a pandemic or whether we're in the midst of a fight against racism, this is more like a marathon than a sprint. And I think we need to find moments of refueling. When we were in the depths of the pandemic and the stay-at-home orders were so tight, we longed for that day when we could go back to normal, right? And yet some of us also had this aching and this longing that we would be changed because of the pandemic. And so we found ourselves balancing these two things, wanting to go back to normal, and yet also wanting something to be different. Now we're a few weeks deep into this time of racial tension and protests and uprising that's speaking loudly that things must change. But in this season, I find myself balancing two things. The desire to come alongside our Black brothers and sisters and see change and feeling deep grief for all the people of color have experienced for hundreds of years. And yet there's something in my heart that's also longing for joy. Again, this is going through my mind as I'm reading the scriptures from the lectionary. And the passages are from Exodus and Matthew and Romans and Psalms. In Exodus, it's the message of God that he's giving to Moses, through Moses, to the Israelites, saying, if you obey my commands, you will be my treasured possession. And the Israelites are like, yeah, we'll do that. But a lot of us know the story doesn't quite go that way. And then in Matthew, we have a story of Jesus going around in the towns and villages, and he's healing people, showing his love for them. Then he calls his disciples to him, and then he sends them out. The Romans passage is just the very beginning of Romans, and it's when Paul says a little bit about himself, and then among other things, he gives thanks to God for the faith of the people that will be reading his letter. And then I have the Psalm passage that I read. Psalms have a lot of Psalms have a combination of lament and praise. But this Psalm is just a Psalm of praise, and I'd like to read it for you. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. That's Psalm 100. And I seriously thought to myself, can I speak on this passage? Can I preach on praising God in such a joyful way during such a sad and tumultuous time? I know that many of us have experienced mixed emotions like this when we go through the death or the loss of a loved one. While we're mourning and deeply saddened, we find moments that bring us joy and laughter. We gather with family and friends, and we cry, and we laugh. And we know that to spend a moment or two laughing doesn't minimize the grief. We know it's okay to laugh in the midst of grief. But in some way, the current ache and pain of our brothers and sisters right now, it seemed different. And I still just wasn't sure. I suppose most of you don't know that one of my sons lived in Nashville for about 2 years. And while he was there, he got involved in a church, and he really grew to love this church. And it's a fairly large church. Now, you can imagine that the worship team, the talent of a worship team in Nashville, is pretty much off the charts. So when the pandemic happened and they decided to stop their Sunday morning services, they decided to offer an evening worship session every evening through Instagram. Like I said, because of the talent being in Nashville, the worship sessions are just fantastic. Different worship leaders or different musicians would lead from their own homes. Over these past couple months, every now and then, I have just listened to one of those worship sets. And I actually did that last week. Only they had a guest worship leader, a guy named Dewan Hill. And he actually is like, he's received some Dove Awards or been nominated for Grammy. So he's a very talented artist. And that's not what stood out to me. What stood out to me in this worship session was the joy and the praise that was throughout this whole time of worship. So I realized that the answer is yes. And it's not just because this guy, I felt like he gave me permission to sing words of praise. The answer is yes, because in the midst of all that's been happening the past few months and the past weeks, the answer is yes, because God has not changed. If he was worthy of our praise in January and February, he continues to be worthy of our praise in March and in April and even in May and June. Because, friends, praising God is not or should not be dependent on whatever's going on. And I don't say that lightly or easily. I know that it's not necessarily easy to do. But as I said, God has not changed. And so he's always worthy of our praise. When I first read the words, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth," I remembered that as this pandemic started, I was thinking, I'm so glad it's spring, right? We were seeing the buds on the trees, and then the green grass started to come, and more flowers. Oh, and the crocuses and the daffodils that poked up from the green earth. And now our gardens are bringing forth strawberries and lettuces and other fresh green spring vegetables. And we have been saying to each other, spring, nature wasn't stopped by the pandemic. But it wasn't nature that wasn't stopped by the pandemic. It was our Creator God who wasn't stopped by the pandemic. But even if we forgot to give God praise, it was like creation continued to sing that song for us. But actually, this psalm has nothing to do with nature or creation singing praise to God. When it says that all the earth should praise him, this is talking about the inhabitants of the earth, the people of the earth. So when God says to Abraham that all nations will be blessed through him, he's meaning all the people. Even the opening lines of Psalm 100 remind us that God is a God of inclusion, wanting all the earth, every nation, and every tongue to sing his praise, to know that they matter to him, to know that he loves them. But before we spend any more time looking at this particular psalm, I want to say a few things about the psalms in general. Walter Brueggemann wrote a book called Praying the Psalms. And in this book, he says this. He said, when we pray the Psalms, the work of prayer is to bring two realities together, the boldness of the Psalms and the extremity of our experience. Let me read that again. When we pray the Psalms, the work of prayer is to bring together two realities, the boldness of the Psalms and the extremity of our worship. In other words, extreme language, the extreme language in the Psalms can give light to the extremeness in our lives, giving words to things we're struggling to express. If you're finding yourself in anguish and finding it hard to freely express to God how you're feeling, I encourage you to read through the Psalms. But more than just Psalms of lament, or even Psalms asking for God's vengeance, we have Psalms that give us hope and imagination of new life. For example, Psalm 61 says, "Lead me to the rock which is higher than I, for you are my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Oh, to be safe in the shadow of your wing." If you were to start at the beginning of Psalm 61 and read all the way through it, you would see that it starts with despair. And then it takes us from despair to hope and confidence and trust in our Lord. The Psalms are deep and rich, and they have so much to offer, especially in these days. If you've not spent any time with these poems and songs, I encourage you to do so. But today we're not focused on a psalm of lament. We're not actually even focused on a psalm of hope, but it is a psalm of praise. I know that this psalm is probably familiar to many of you, but I think in these days it's probably good to take a fresh look at it. So if we look at the poetic structure of this psalm, how it is built poetically, we would see that there is a rhythm to it. There are verses that tell us to praise God, and then it says why, and then we repeat, praise God, and why. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Why? Because we know that the Lord is good. It is he who has made us. We are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And then it calls for another praise. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Why? For the Lord is good and his love endures forever and his faithfulness continues for generations. Basically, it says praise God and this is why, and repeat, praise God and this is why. This was probably a processional praise, and it kind of makes me think of a chant that you might hear as a team is going onto the playing field, like, we are number one because we're undefeated. We're number one. It's a chant. It's an exclamation. But this is an exclamation of how amazing is our God. So if we look at it grammatically, we would see that there are seven imperatives, seven things we're told we should do. Shout, worship, come, know, enter, give thanks, and praise. Shout. Don't hold back. This is a raise the roof kind of praise. Worship. Now, the original word actually was a combination of worship and service. So when we worship God, it is actually an act of service to God. Come. This is an invitational word to come to the King. Know. We are shouting praise and worshiping and coming before the one true God. And this was a clear reminder to the Israelites of the first commandment. This is the one we worship. This is the one. This is the God who deserves our praise. And beyond just knowing, there's knowing. Some of you may remember what Jesus says in John chapter 10. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. This isn't a casual knowing someone. This is a knowledge that reflects something way more personal. It's a reminder of God's presence with his people. Enter. This is an invitation to all the earth to enter the gates and his courts. For the Israelites, they would have immediately thought of the temple and entering the temple. But remember, this is a psalm to all the earth. So in some way, the Israelites were already being told that this saving message from God, this love of God, is not just for the Israelites, but for all people. Give thanks. For the Israelites, give thanks was to confess or to declare that God had come to deliver them and his presence was among them. Praise. The psalmist reminds us that praise is not just for what he has done, but for who he is and what he will be. The Lord is good. He will love us, and he will be faithful to us. As I said, first we looked at it poetically, and then we look at it grammatically. And those imperatives, some of us might know that a word imperative also would mean command. But I would suggest that rather than looking at this as a psalm with a set of commands, what if this is a psalm with a set of invitations? We don't hear, come, we hear, come. What if when the psalmist wrote this, he was giving us an invitation to join him in worshiping our God? What if the psalmist knew that in our easy days, it would be easy to worship, but in our hard days, it would be good for our soul to continue to worship God? What if this isn't a you have to, but a you get to? You get to shout praise to his name. You get to worship him. You get to come close to him. You get to know him. You get to enter his gates and draw near to him. You get to give him your words of thanksgiving. You get to give him words of praise. Psalm 100 isn't a demand psalm. It's not a demand to praise. It's an invitation to praise. Psalm 100 reminds us that it's not a quiet thing we do in our prayer closets. It's something we do loudly, and we do it joyfully. And in that loud and excited praise, we actually invite others to join us in that praise. Psalm 100 reminds us that worship is a joyful act. Sure, there are times that we worship in a contemplative or in a more quiet and reflective tone, but our worship should be joyful. Friends, the God who made the universe loves you and loves me. That should be bringing us joy. This is something to be excited about. Psalm 100 reminds us that we are invited to draw near to the King. As we sing his praise and sing joyful songs, we draw near to our Lord. Psalm 100 reminds us that he is God. He created us, he knows us, he loves us, and we are to give him thanksgiving and praise for what he's done and who he is. As I close, there's a few things I want to say. First of all, if you're curious about that worship set that I listened to that in part gave me permission to talk about praise, I'm going to share that with the home church leaders, so you can contact them if you'd like the link to that worship set. But the other thing I want to say is that I know you may not feel like worshiping God a lot right now. Things have been hard for quite a while, and I don't want to assume that this is easy. Today it might be easier for some, and another day it might be easier for others. And this was not the only psalm that David ever prayed. There's plenty of psalms of lament, and those are okay too. But I felt like it was important to remind you that while our world has felt ugly and messy and hard and frankly exhausting, God has not changed. His love for us displayed through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the presence of the Holy Spirit are reminders to us of the unfailing love of our God. Often we come to the communion table more in a contemplative or a reflective tone, and that's appropriate because we are remembering the death of Christ. But I also today, I encourage you to participate in communion with a heart of praise. For as we remember, we are also thankful and we can shout for joy to the Lord. Would you join me in saying the Lord's Prayer together? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and broke it, and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after supper, he took the cup, and he said, "This cup is a new covenant poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Would you pray with me? Father God, we come to you today and we confess that we're still balancing grief, mourning, loss, but there is joy. And we come to you with joyful hearts. We shout to you with joy because you are our God. We give you thanks and we give you praise for all who you are and all that you will continue to be. In your name we pray. Amen. Friends, it is my prayer that as you go throughout this next week, that in the midst of all the things we're still struggling with, none of them are really gone. But the truth is, God has remained the same. And I hope that that reminder gives you joy as you go out throughout this week. God bless.